misstep by the Bush administration.
The administration consistently underestimates security risk. They told us the levees were strong and the insurgents were weak. Now we're on to port security.
Opponents of the port deal, including the agency that runs New York and New Jersey ports, took their cases to court today. The company, Dubai Ports World, meanwhile stepped up its efforts to change the minds of congressional critics. The daytime curfew in and around Baghdad is going to be extended for another day. The curfew was put in place to try and stop violence against Sunni mosques and clerics. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice acknowledged today that sectarian violence could stall efforts to form a permanent government in Iraq, but she says she's confident Iraqis want a unified government. Rice is blaming outsiders, including Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, for trying to provoke a civil war. The world's largest oil processing facility nearly got blown up Friday, according to Saudi officials. They say two guards were critically injured while stopping suicide bombers. Two cars packed with explosives were detonated outside the gates as the result of the guards opening fire. South Dakota made it official today, passing a bill that would ban nearly all abortions in that state. And the state's Governor Mike Rounds has indicated he'll sign the measure. Under that legislation, doctors in the state would face up to 5 years in prison for performing an abortion unless it's necessary to save the mother's life. No exception is made for rape or incest. And just 2 days to go before the latest deadline set for kidnappers holding American journalist Jill Carroll in Iraq 2 weeks ago, her abductor sent a message saying they'd kill her by February 26th if their demands weren't met. Mark Shearer, Air America Radio News.
Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit dingy here. I spent some time today with Molly out on the trail near our house in the woods, kind of woods. And it just started to occur to me how weird everything is. Weirdness abounds, as Hunter Thompson used to say. It's hard to... It's hard to come out of the weirdness thing, for me anyway. The major thing, I think, is this war. Bush keeps telling everybody who will listen and, whoever they select to come in and listen to his matinee lectures now. And of course, media are there to report it and suck up to him. But he always talks about war. Everything we're a nation at war. We're at war. This is the first war of the 21st century. This is the new way of war. We're at war. 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 And I just don't feel like we're a nation at war. Do you? Where is? I see the half-assed yellow magnetic bumper sticker or whatever they are on the backs of people's cars that say support the troops. But what troops? We're at war? Where are there troop ships heading out? How do they get people to war now? They put them in C-130s? Do they still use C-130s? Do they send them on, ships? I saw some video footage today of, Beaumont, Texas? What is the port down in Texas where 75% of the military hardware that's used in Iraq and Afghanistan flows out of that port down the shipping channel and into the Gulf and off it goes. And I'm watching this video footage and I see all these tanks and what we used to call howitzers. Hell, I don't know what they call them anymore. All being loaded onto ships. I think, what the hell is going on? Is this the History Channel? Am I watching a movie? What am I watching here? And I keep hearing this, we're at war. Are we? Who is feeling this war? The families of the people being, the American soldiers being butchered by Bush's insanity. And there's a lot of that here in Georgia. There are major, major, major military bases here in Georgia. It's one of the things that keeps the economy going. Every place in Georgia except Atlanta. There's only Atlanta. Oh, I know. People are going to say, well, what about Savannah? Savannah is the seaport, tourist town, what have you. But there's Atlanta, and that's it. The rest of this godforsaken crap hole of a state is financed to a large extent by military bases, military reservations, all over the place. All over the place. So the people who are really suffering, who are really tuned into, yeah, there's a war going on, are the American families, I'm talking about this country, I'm not talking about the Iraqis. Oh, the Iraqis know what war is going on. They're being butchered by the tens of thousands. But here in this country, just the families of the dead soldiers who get the knock on the door, and here they come, here comes the, here comes some captain and somebody from the chaplain's office. Or the families of the men and women are coming back with arms and legs blown off, half their heads blown away, their guts blown out, but they're still alive. So those young men know, for the most part, men, some women, yes, and the families know. But who else knows we're at war? Do you know we're at war? Do you feel a sense of we're at war? What are we fighting for? What is this war about? What are we fighting for? As sick and degenerate as the lies were back in the 60s about Vietnam, at least we were told we were fighting to stop the spread of communism, right? If we didn't make a stand in South Vietnam, we'd have to make a stand in San Diego or the domino theory. At least in all the madness back then, there was method to the madness. But here, what are we fighting for? Now, Ted Koppel kind of aced it in the New York Times today. You read Koppel's column? Ted Koppel wrote a column, and he said, it's the oil. Really, Ted? You're kidding. It's the oil? But there's Ted Koppel, old conservative. I'm not saying he's a right-winger. His daughter is. But there's old Ted Koppel, old conservative Ted Koppel, who for 20 years did Nightline, and 80% of the time he had on conservative white male guests whenever there was a point to be made about something. But there's Ted Koppel. It's about the oil. It's the oil. That's what it is, right? Huh? If Ted Koppel says it, I mean, you and I were saying it before this filthy war even started. Remember all the demonstrations? No blood for oil. It's the oil. Not a single American life for oil. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, I don't know. Remember how the right wing piss ants in this country kept saying, well, we need to have, you want to stop the economy, don't you? You know, the same argument that they say to environmentalists. But my God, it occurred to me today. I'm out there walking the path. And Molly's wandering around. It's been raining here. So it's been kind of, it's kind of muddy and Kathy was back at the house, and I'm saying, Molly, come here. You know, every time I turn around, she's wandering off trying to eat something, rocks or pine cones and, sticks, whatever. She's in the second oral phase now, apparently. Everything it just goes right to her mouth. And it's just, please, Molly, come on, stop, all right? And she's looking up at me like, what's the bug up your butt, Dad? I'm just being a kid. But I'm out there today thinking, we're at war. George Bush says we're a nation at war. For those of you over the age of what? Pick a number. Over the age of 30, 35, 40? Does this feel like we're a nation at war? How old do you have to be to remember Vietnam? That was 1970. That was 35 years ago. Jesus, you have to be what? Over the age of 45, 50 to remember Vietnam? Oh, my God. Oh, that just hit like a ton of bricks, didn't it? Any other war, I kind of remember hearing my grandparents talk about the Korean War had started, but we're a nation at war. Do you feel that way? If you're 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, however old you are, do you really feel like you're living in a country that's at war, in a war? That's what Bush keeps saying. We're in a war. And I look around, I don't see any evidence of war. I see these damnable loopy-loop yellow things on the back of people's trucks. It just makes me want to go to war. Makes me want to pull up alongside of them and just shoot them about 50 birds, Just pump it at them. Middle finger, up and down, 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 up and down. Until they pull out a gun and shoot me. Because here in Georgia now, if you feel threatened on the street, you can pull out a gun and shoot somebody. Huh? In the city. That's right. Here in Georgia. Was that law signed, Kathy, or are they still debating it? Who cares? Yeah, I know. Who cares? Who gives a damn? But is this true? Are we a nation at war? The death toll of American soldiers keeps going up. Oh so slowly, unless it's your son who's murdered. Then it's not slow. But if you look at these numbers, I was at informationclearinghouse.info earlier today. And I was looking at some of the statistics they have there. And, I look at the numbers and I think, is that true? We're getting close to 2,300 dead Americans. How soon before at 25? And then 3,000. And it's slow, incremental. Yesterday there were 7 Americans killed. And, 200 Iraqis? 250? It's so weird, isn't it? Is it just me, or do you feel this too? We're supposed to be, Bush keeps telling us we're a nation at war. Who's paying for the war? Who's, where are the parades? Where are the guys coming home? Where are the coffins and the ones that aren't in coffins? What the hell is going on here?
It's about greed. It's about rich white men getting richer. It's about fear and control of those barrels of black gold. Yeah, step up, folks, to another war where we never really say what we're fighting for. It's easy to pretend we're defending our native soil. Put it in the headlines. I want to see it in big lights. Hello.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here, and you can hear me, of course, on Air America Radio. If you're as fed up with the Bush crime family as I am, you need to go to ImpeachBushGame.com. That's ImpeachBushGame.com, where you can get the new board game, Impeached, that points out the lies, incompetence, and stupidity of George W. and the entire Bush crime family. You'll have fun playing this eye-opening board game that dares to peek into the Bush administration. Impeached will challenge your ability to lie, cheat, and steal. I'm for real here. Order your game now at ImpeachBushGame.com.
I thought you were done with our taxes.
I am, but now TurboTax can help us get even more from our tax refund.
Really?
Yeah. With TurboTax, we can use all or part of our refund for gift cards with a bonus of 10%, 20%, or more at over 50 major retailers.
Wow.
We can get more from the places where we'd spend our money anyway.
A bonus on top of our refund? I'm thinking power tools.
Or some new shoes.
DVD player.
Dinner out.
Barbecue grill.
New laptop.
Vacation.
Vacation.
Fees apply. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
You know, it'll take time to restore chaos and order, but we will.
Anyone past the hour. Okay, I tossed a question out there, so let's get an answer to. Clint is calling from Dearborn, Michigan, our bureau chief in Dearborn. Hey, Clint, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
Yeah, I'm just wondering about this war. It seems, I'm a baby boomer, and, growing up during the Vietnam War, we had sacrifices and things like that, and you always heard about people, that were killed over there and things like that. But now it seems like it's more of a big joke. And it seems like the Bush administration is conducting more of a war on the citizens of the United States instead of, a traditional war.
Yeah,
that's my observation.
I guess that's the part that feels so weird, because I know that the Bush crime family is burning the U.S. Constitution. They're just burning it into those little black flyaway pieces of paper, right?
Yeah.
And they're invading every aspect of our lives. They are liars. They are criminals. They are killers.
Exactly.
And yet I'm being told that we're at war. And I feel the same way you do, that the only threat to me is George W. Bush and his and his filthy thugs.
I mean
a real threat. I don't mean the kind of threat like the knuckle-dragging NRA people who say, oh, they're going to come take your guns. I love my country, but I hate my government. Not that kind of crap. I mean detention centers. I mean they set up an attack on this country that cost 3,000 lives. I mean they illegally invaded two countries. I mean the loss of civil liberties, the destruction of the economy. What the hell is going on, Clint?
I don't know. Being here up here in Michigan, and I get down to Toledo every so often, and I see the war being conducted on the people here. The economy's destroyed. The cities are dying. Is that what George is talking about with his war? Because I don't see the traditional thing, because, the traditional war, we all got together and sacrificed, and, we never had tax cuts during the old wars. In fact,
right,
people would raise taxes.
Right.
I don't know.
So, do you ever feel like that you might be a little bit crazy? I don't mean crazy to the point where you can't cope, but that somehow your ability to sort through truth and lies is starting to break down, is starting to be worn down. Do you ever feel that way?
Yeah, and I haven't watched traditional news ever since this guy got in, because you can't believe anything on it. It's just a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Is it any better down in Atlanta? Well, you've obviously orated how it is down in Atlanta. It's probably not any different than it
is
up here.
No, here in Atlanta, Atlanta, the city, is a fairly liberal enterprise. I mean, our two representatives are John Lewis and Cynthia McKinney.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get outside of those two counties, Fulton County and DeKalb County, you get into the other three counties that make up Metro Atlanta. There's about 15 counties that make up Atlanta now, but you get into the other three counties in Metro Atlanta, and you might as well be in some kind of a right-wing, extremely white fantasy world. And even in Atlanta, even here in Atlanta, who knows? I don't see people. Nobody talks about the war. Nobody talks about there's a war going on. Nobody talks about. They just don't. I start to feel like reality is, you remember when you were a kid and you were in school, and this is before we found out how dangerous this was, and somebody with your science teacher would put a little dollop of mercury on a plate, and you'd push it around and go, wow, look at this, man, this is so cool, what is this? Well, that, you try to pick it up and it breaks into three pieces, right? You remember that?
Yep.
All right. That's what reality is starting to feel like to me, Clint.
Yeah, I know, and I worry for the young people today, because, when you and I were growing up, we at least had some feel for hope in the future, but right now, you know, little kids today are just like, you know, they look at you like, what's going on, you know?
Well, they're being anesthetized. They really are. Kids today are being anesthetized. At least 40 years ago, we were aware. We could sit and watch the evening news at night. There were only three channels to choose from, and you could be aware. Huntley Brinkley made you aware. Cronkite made you aware that there was a war going on. People were dying. Cities were being blown to pieces.
Yep.
Hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of American men were coming home dead, coming home wounded. Kids today are being anesthetized by mainstream media. It's just narcotizing them. It's horrible. Hey, listen, well, all right, Clint, thanks for checking in.
You guys take care.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
The White House, the Whitey White House, the liar sleeps tonight.
This is Air America.
The oily Mideast, I'm gonna pick a fight. Winging it, I'm such a twit, I'm such a twit. Winging it, I'm such a twit, I'm such a twit. No weapon of mass destruction can be now. Halliburton Sergeant wears oil earring, but now on your TV, the cable TV, the...
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
No matter what you do, work can be stressful. And all that stress might cause you to grind your teeth at night. So why not go out and buy yourself a doctor's night guard, the dental protector you wear at night to cushion and save your teeth and put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that. Relieve the nightly grind with the doctor's night guard in the oral care section.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement, and now we're trying to develop a Silver Rights Movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
I'm a woman. I like things like movies with dialogue and sweater sets. I like hot cocoa on a rainy day. I like the word cocoa. But most of all, I like my big fat hog. Which is why I have Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Geico covers most kinds of bikes and has money-saving discounts. Geico. That's nice.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
out by right-wing talk radio, you found a home with Mike Malloy.
Gotta love that song. Dance Me Till the End of Time. That's Leonard Cohen, right? Leonard Cohen Live. End of Love, I mean. That's all we have in that? Ah, damn. We ought to just play Leonard Cohen music tonight and thank our Canadian friends for producing him. It's 25 before the hour. Suzanne in L.A. writes, Mike, I can't recall seeing support our troops bumper stickers during Vietnam, but I interpret the ones today as really meaning support our president. The main one during Vietnam was, what if they gave a war and nobody came? Yeah. Just a reminder to Atlanta area Democratic Underground members, there's a meetup tomorrow night at the Graveyard Pub in East Atlanta at 7 p.m. Hope to see you there. Kathy and I are going to go. Are we taking Molly? We are taking Molly? Oh, damn. That means we can't get drunk, right? So all you evil DUers who live in the Atlanta area, tomorrow night, 7 p.m. at the Graveyard. It's really a cool place. The Graveyard in East Atlanta, 7 p.m. Hope we'll see you then. All right, let's do some phone calls here because I want to do that tonight. Marshall is calling from New York. Marshall, welcome to the program.
Mike, big fan
Marshall.
Of the show. I've been on once or twice before.
Yeah, welcome back or whatever.
I'll try. I just have two quick points. I'll try to make them as quick as possible.
Okay.
One thing about the Ted Koppel that you didn't really kind of expand upon, and this is just my opinion, and obviously tell me if you disagree. I think it's a little bit more insidious than you implied, because I read that this morning, and I think his message is, it's about the oil, but it's okay. That's kind of what he's saying. He's not saying it's about the oil. I don't take it as him saying that's their real hidden motive here. I take him saying, because he goes into a whole historical justification of
really?
Our involvement with these countries with taking oil.
Oh my God! You mean you possibly might be more of a cynic than I am?
I think you may. You know what, Mike? I'm not trying to question you on it. I think
question away. I just read it. I read it a certain way. If I mean, I'm interested in your take on it. If Ted Koppel is just being like, it's the oil. So what? Then that puts a whole different slant.
I think his take, because he goes into a whole thing about the importance and the justifications and the opening up of the Persian Gulf. I honestly read that this morning as him saying, it's about the oil, but it's okay. And that's what I thought. That was really frightened me this morning when I read his thing. But you know what? I'm going to reread it because maybe I am being a bit of a...
Well, I'm going to reread it too when I go home tonight because that's interesting. I've never, you know, Ted Koppel has never impressed me as being... anything but kind of center right. He's not a screaming right winger. But you know his politics I think are center right. The producers of his program Nightlight, and I realize he was one of the. I think he was the executive producer, but the producers of Nightline, for some reason over the years, and I've read these studies. I've got the numbers wrong, but the studies indicated that most of his guests were conservative, most were white, and most were male.
I've read that as well, yeah.
So the slant of the program has always been kind of right wing, conservative. I don't want to say right wing because that's Nazi like. But I'll read it again tonight. You may be absolutely right.
And I'll apologize if I am right, Mike. But that was
don't apologize my ass. What are you talking about? You know, your opinion is just as valid as mine.
Sure, I want to make sure that I'm going to reread it again anyway. But the other thing that I wanted to just add on to what you were saying before, which I think is an interesting take that you rarely see, and that is, you see a lot in the media about, they always talk about the split, you know, amongst Americans in this, you know, we're half this and half that. But to be truly frank with you, Mike, I have a few conservative friends, and unfortunately a lot of conservative family members. I don't see the split. I tell you the way I honestly see it. I see people are split, but not about the values. They're split because many people are just so uninformed that it, so like in other words, if you find yourself arguing with people regarding what had happened, it's not an argument about whether, you know, your value system behind an issue, it's an argument because they have missed 90% of the issues regarding Halliburton is or who this person is. Their opinions are based on nothingness.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And that's very frustrating. That's why outside of this program, I stay away from those conversations because I have learned that either I'm going to come up against a totally vicious Bush supporting right wing neo-Nazi, or I'm going to come up against somebody who doesn't know what the hell I'm talking about, just like you're saying. There's just no knowledge. There's no common knowledge. When I hate to keep going back to Cronkite and Vietnam, but I don't know what other template to use. When Cronkite got on the air every night, probably at least half of people who got their news got it from Cronkite. Consequently, the next morning, when you went to work or you went to school or whatever you did, went to the laundromat, you could talk to people about, hey, you understand what's going on at Chu Lai? Do you understand what happened in the Central Highlands? And people look at you and go, I heard that last night. Jesus, another 40 people killed and this village was blown to pieces. Everybody knew. Nowadays, nobody knows. Nobody knows nothing. And that's because of this corrupt, filthy media we have.
And it's not just the war, Mike. I agree with you.
Well, you can take it to everything. Take it to everything.
We're living in an economy where they just raised the debt limit to $9 trillion, but some people are under the perception that this is a growing economy, and it's unbelievable the difference in perception.
It is. It's staggering in its polarity. It's just staggering. Hey, listen, thanks, Marshall.
Pleasure,
I appreciate
Mike. Take it out. Bye bye.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. I'm gonna have to read that when I get home again tonight. Kathy, what if Marshall's right? Oh my God! Michael is calling from the Bronx. Michael, welcome to the program.
Hey, Michael, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How about you?
Oh, trying to stay warm. It's so cold here in New York City. It's as cold as George W. Bush. I'm telling you, I got a very important question for you in regards to the latest revelations.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, now when our troops were sent over to Iraq, they were given a reason in so many words that they were fighting terrorism, all right? And then assuming that they get the latest word that their commander-in-chief is basically harboring terrorists with this latest controversy about the U.S. ports, given the fact that they took an oath to uphold and defend the laws and the Constitution of the United States, doesn't that oath supersede any orders that the so-called commander-in-chief gives them, and don't they have the right to say, look, we are not going to be acting in concert in any of your criminal activities anymore. Bush, you can go to hell.
I don't know how anybody in uniform right now doesn't feel like they have been put in the trick bag. And I don't care how innocent this United Arab Emirate horse hockey is. I don't think it's innocent at all. Everybody's talking about, well, why is everybody getting their drawers in a wad, just because the UAE is going to run our ports? And then when you go a little bit below that and find out the truth, I wonder what the average group of soldiers or Marines who are stuck in this hellhole of Iraq, who are trying to stay alive and at the same time being instructed to go kill people, and now they find out this, that this son of a bitch in the White House is cutting deal. This is the perception, that he's cutting deals with a country, more or less a country, that was instrumental in setting up the reason that these soldiers are in Iraq. And I just wonder, how do they handle that? Here's Bush making money, cutting a financial deal for the Carlyle Group and his old man and Baker Botts and all these high-powered white people who are going to get filthy rich. And here the soldiers, white and black and Latino, are slogging it out in this godforsaken Iraq, and the white rich millionaires are laughing at him. They're laughing at him. Jesus Christ, I would go insane.
I know, because, like I said, there's got to be something in the law books, there's got to be something out there that will give the military the upper hand and finally be able to take a stand.
No, there is no. Trust me on this. There's nothing there. There's nothing the military can do except to follow orders. They're an instrument of civilian rule, whatever you want to call it. And there's nothing they can do. But I would be inclined to, I don't know, either go AWOL or stick the muzzle of my rifle in my mouth and pull the trigger. If I were in a situation where I knew I couldn't get out in Iraq, and it was kill or be killed, and all of a sudden it dawned on me, I don't know why all of a sudden it would dawn on me, but all of a sudden it did dawn on me that the son of a bitch whose policy sent me here is cutting financial deals with one of the countries that was involved, even peripherally. So the official story is, in setting up the incident that caused me to be here to begin with, I couldn't handle it. Michael, I got to go. Thanks for checking in, okay? And stay warm. Is that cold in New York tonight? All right. Quick break and we'll be back. Oh, good. Give me some more Leonard Cohen. Oh, yeah. Come on back to the war.
The Iraqi regime is a threat to any American and to threats who are friends of America.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
said tonight how much he hates these people? It's more of Mike Malloy.
It's coming through a hole in the air.
This is Leonard Cohen night. Sorry with me. I love the man.
It's coming from a feel that this ain't exactly real. Or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay, democracy is coming to the USA.
No, it's leaving. It's leaving, Leonard. I'm sorry. A sheikh from the United Arab Emirates contributed at least $1 million to the Bush Library Foundation, which established the George Bush Presidential Library at Texas A&M University in College Station, Texas. Excuse me. The donations were made to this library in the early 1990s. This is library that houses the papers of the former President George Bush that no one's allowed to see. The list of donors names Sheikh Zayed bin Sultan Al Nahyan and the people of the United Arab Emirates as one donor in the $1 million or more category. Someone named Roman Popaduik, chairman of the Bush Library Foundation, that collects donations, said he could not discuss details of the gifts except to say the amount category and whether it was before or after 1997. These sons of bitches, you know, I'm so tired of their secretiveness. I swear to God. Well, be careful now. Don't say anything real bad or, you know, you'll go to Guantanamo. Other Arab donors include the state of Kuwait, the Bandar bin Sultan family. That's the one that Bush, George Jr. likes to kiss and fondle. The Sultanate of Oman, King Hassan of Morocco, and the Emir of Qatar. You see, do you see what's going on here? You do, don't you, Truth Seeker? Do you care? I mean, I know you do, but I just wonder, you lurkers. The Bush administration, the Bush family, all of them, every single one of these criminals, they cut deals. They make money with the very people that we're supposed to be over there fighting. Oh, please don't buy the BS that we're fighting terrorism. Oh, my God, please don't. Lou Dobbs, one of the whitest white men, one of the most conservative, pro-business white men on television, is the past year or so, he's been having nerve out after nerve out, hasn't he? And now he's just freaked, I tell you, about this UAE port thing. You've been following that? Christine Romans, who's one of his chief correspondents the other night, said the oil-rich United Arab Emirates is a major investor in the Carlyle Group, the private equity investment firm where President Bush's father once served as senior advisor, and is a who's who of former high-level government officials. Just last year, Dubai International Capital, a government-backed buyout firm, invested in an $8 billion Carlyle fund. Another family connection between the Bushes, the Bush crime family, and the Arabs we're supposed to hate is Neil Bush. He has been receiving funding for his educational software from a bunch of United Arab Emirate investors. Then there's John Snow, Treasury Secretary, Chairman of CSX, former, after he left the company for the White House. CSX sold its port operations to Dubai Ports World for $1 billion. It just goes on and on. And we have young men who are in Iraq tonight who are going to die because of these sons of bitches back here, these blood-sucking, murderous, capitalistic pigs. And according to the Guardian of the UK, the United Arab Emirates gave the Bush administration $100 million to help victims of Hurricane Katrina weeks before a state-owned company there sought U.S. approval for its ports deal. The White House said Thursday the $100 million for storm victims demonstrates the relationship between the two governments. Blah, 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 blah. But very quickly, someone named Adam Arley, a Deputy State Department spokesman, rushes out and said, there was no connection between the two events. No connection, no connection. Our senior correspondent out in Minnesota, Chris, writes, is this why the deal was made for the ports business? Chris writes, I find the two separate or seemingly separate answers to be absolutely rib-tickling hilarious. The quote is, the White House said Thursday $100 million for storm victims demonstrates a relationship. Chris says, sure it does. It demonstrates something called quid pro quo. It demonstrates something called bribery, provided that it was meant as a bribe. The thing of it is, I don't have any idea, Chris writes, whether the UAE was being genuine or not. But I guarantee this, that money never made it to the people of the Gulf Coast. So then someone over at the State Department saw the comment, went crazy, and sent out the geek, Adam Arley.
There's no connection between the two events.
Denial ain't just a river in Egypt. But wait a second. I remember a Saudi sheikh offering $100 million to the city of New York and Giuliani telling him to stuff it up his ass. Don't I remember that?
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio. This is the Nation Minute on Air America Radio.
Iraq is in the early stages of a civil war. The attack on one of the holiest Shiite mosques this week by Sunni insurgents provided the clearest evidence yet. The subsequent response killed over 140 people, prompting Sunni politicians to break off talks with the new Iraqi government. 7 U.S. troops were caught in the crossfire. The Bush administration has been warned over and over that this might happen. They chose to ignore the facts on the ground. In the fall of 2004, analysts at the CIA predicted that Iraq could descend into a civil war within 18 months. The White House dismissed the findings, labeling the intelligence community pessimists and naysayers. When American and Iraqi politicians rang similar alarm bells, President Bush paid them no mind. For more, visit thenation.com. I'm Ari Berman for Air America Radio.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning, totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
There were dark days of tax preparation, my friends, where you had to run around, get forms, or go to a franchise tax store and pay through the nose. But those days are over. There's this thing called the Internet and this website called TurboTax.com. Now you don't go to your taxes come to you. TurboTax asks you simple questions and fills out all the right forms. It checks for errors and calculations are guaranteed accurate. Now that's what I call progress. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
I'm Mark Shearer. The deal turning over operation of 6 American ports to a company from the United Arab Emirates
is not going to be reconsidered. That's what President Bush's national security advisor said today. But meeting with reporters, Thomas Hadley said the company's decision to delay taking over the ports was welcomed by Bush.
Obviously, questions have been raised in the public and in the Congress, and the president believes that additional time, which would allow the company and the administration to explain this and provide more information to the Congress, is a good thing.
The latest criticism over the deal comes from the former head of the 9/11 Commission. Thomas Kane says the ports deal never should have happened. He points out two of the September 11th hijackers came from the United Arab Emirates, and money was laundered through that country. Pentagon officials admitted today that the number of Iraqi army battalions judged by their American trainers to be capable of fighting the insurgency without U.S. help has dropped from one to none since September. However, the Pentagon report says the number of Iraqi battalions capable of leading the battle with U.S. troops in a support role has grown by nearly 50%. Ultra-conservative Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum's charity got a black eye today. Santorum's charity, Operation Good Neighbor, is described on its website as an organization promoting compassionate conservatism by providing grants to small nonprofit groups, many of them religious. But according to the Better Business Bureau, the charity only donated about 40% of the $1.25 million it spent during a four-year period. The other 60% was paid out for overhead, including several hundred thousand dollars to Santorum campaign aides on the charity's payroll. The Better Business Bureau's Wise Giving Alliance says charitable organizations should spend at least 65% of their total expenses on actual charitable activities. But Santorum's Operation Good Neighbor, once again, spends only about 40% on actual do-gooding. Santorum's campaign press secretary said a response was being prepared. For years, 78-year-old Irwin Schiff has been telling Americans not to pay income tax, and today the anti-tax crusader and author was sentenced to more than 13 years in federal prison. His lawyer pleaded for leniency, arguing that he was mentally ill, but the U.S. district judge said he was convinced Schiff knew what he was doing when he used radio shows, seminars, and advertisements to induce customers to buy his books and advised people that no U.S. law required them to pay income tax. I'm Mark Shearer, Air America Radio News.
people don't need to worry about security. That deal wouldn't go forward if we were concerned about the security for the United States of America.
What an evil man. A couple of quick emails here regarding the subject of not being able to feel that we're really at war. This email says the following. You're right about Americans not feeling the war, not until the middle class is directly affected will the consciousness of this country wake up. The only way that will happen is if there's a draft and their kids get killed. I don't say that easily. My father died in Vietnam on July 2, 1967. I was 6 months old when he died. From Bob in Miami, other Vietnam era slogans, and there's a bunch, but war is not healthy for children and other living things. Remember that one? Make love, not war. Also, Bob writes, the emergence of the peace symbol and the use of the peace sign is in the two-finger V. Those days won't come back anytime soon, Bob writes. No protest songs on the radio, no reporting of the fallen, no gritty coverage from the battlefield. Just lies and distractions. And from Reg, Mike, I've heard a number of people bring out the Neil Bush software deal for which the United Arab Emirates provided funding. What few people are reporting is that after Neil Bush was banned from banking activities for his role in the savings and loan scandals in the late 1980s, he decided to bank on education. After his brother became president, Neil founded Ignite Incorporated. Ignite sells software to help students prepare to take comprehensive tests required under the No Child Left Behind Act that was pushed through by his older brother, George. They have no shame, Reg writes, and the media protects their very move, their every move. Yeah, yeah. Neil Bush, that's right, you remember, the Silverado thing. The fraud was so massive. So incredible. Of course, Neil Bush never served a day in jail. If you walk into your nearest convenience store tomorrow and steal a loaf of bread, your ass is in real trouble. If you steal three loaves of bread on three different occasions in California and they catch you all three times, you go to prison for life. But Neil Bush, Marvin Bush, George Bush, Jeb Bush, they could do anything they want. Anything. From Harriet, regarding the Ted Koppel column this morning. Mike, I just heard the gentleman call regarding Ted Koppel's article in the New York Times, and I just reread the article. He did not say anything about being pro or against the war. He only stated that oil has always been the bedrock of our economy and stated the history of all the wars and bases in the Mideast, and basically said we are there only because of the oil. I found the article to be a statement of why we're in Iraq, and there's just no other reason than oil. It's a somewhat subliminal message, maybe. Oil it is, not weapons of mass destruction or democracy for Iraq. Harriet. Well, that's kind of the impression I got when I read it this morning. According to United Press International, and you have to take this with a trainload of salt because don't forget UPI is owned by the Moonies. But it says here, a United Arab Emirates government-owned company is poised to take over port terminal operations in 21 American ports, far more than the six widely reported. Jesus, God. P&O, see, DP World bought P&O. P&O is the British company. DP World is the Dubai company. P&O is the parent company of P&O Ports North America, which leases terminals for the import and export of loading and unloading and security of cargo in 21 ports, 11 on the East Coast, ranging from Portland, Maine to Miami, 10 on the Gulf Coast, from Gulfport, Mississippi to Corpus Christi, Texas, according to the company's website. Blah, 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 blah. 21 ports. See, George Bush will murder your child if there's enough money for him. He is murdering hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of America's children. He is murdering thousands upon thousands upon tens of thousands of Iraqi children because of the money. And there's anybody out there who still doesn't understand how evil these people are? Any of you right-wingers want to call in here tonight and explain to this audience a justification for all this? Do you want to call in and tell this audience, and tell me for that matter, how what you're hearing on the program tonight is not true? Is there any other motive for this murderous Bush crime family other than money, power?
No, we're fighting for democracy, Mike. If we don't fight them in the streets of Baghdad, we'll have to fight them in the streets of Baltimore.
And here's the last one, and then back to your phone calls. This is from Adam in Chicago. Hi, Mike. I recently visited a Borders bookstore in Chicago looking for a copy of David Ray Griffin's book, The New Pearl Harbor. It's been out for almost a year, so I thought they might have it. He goes to Borders to do this now. I began my search in the history section. Nothing. I continued to nonfiction. Nothing. Finally, I made my way to the political section and was visually harassed with the most vulgar display of Hannity, Coulter, O'Reilly, and so on and so on. They even had that stupid anti-Michael Moore book. I made a comment under my breath that this might be the right-wing crap section, and out of thin air, a Borders employee appeared and asked, "Can I help you find something?" I told him what I was looking for, and we walked to the computer so he could look up the book. At first, he told me that they didn't stock the book. Then he recanted and said they'd had a copy a couple of weeks ago, but they were still waiting to receive another copy to replace it. He continued to tell me that no Borders in Chicago, in all of Chicago, had a copy of The New Pearl Harbor. Huh? They only stock one copy of this book, Adam writes. They sure had plenty of Coulter, Hannity, and O'Reilly. Barnes & Noble had a copy, so they got my money. Shame on you, Borders Books. Adam. Borders Books doesn't give a damn. This is America. Ireland wants Guantanamo closed. The Irish Foreign Minister, Dermot Ahern, yesterday called on the United States to close down the detention facility at Guantanamo. Ahern told Irish Radio, "The issue of this facility in the long term, medium, and short term, indeed, is that it should be closed." Well, Mr. Ahern, don't count on it. And the last thing here, North Carolina State Republican Party is facing criticism. This is the party headed, in a sense, by Liddy Dole. North Carolina State Republican Party is facing criticism over its request for church directories. Charlotte, North Carolina's Roman Catholic Diocese, says it doesn't share personal information with anyone, and priests and individual parishioners shouldn't do so either. Reverend Ken Massey, a Greensboro, North Carolina Baptist, said he doesn't fault Republicans for trying, but would tell members that providing directories, quote, would be an abuse of our friendship, end quote. Well, Reverend Massey, you have a friendship with the Republican Party? You realize what you're doing, don't you? You're having sex with the devil. Do you understand that, Reverend Massey? You are having sex with the devil. Whether you give over your membership list or not is immaterial. You are having sex, carnal knowledge, with the devil, Reverend Massey. The Republican request sent statewide by email said research by the National Party shows, quote,
people who regularly attend church usually vote Republican when they vote.
Eventually you're going to run out of Leonard Cohen, but that's cool. Keep going.
Repent.
listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. Our apologies, but in the interest of bettering the future of your teeth, we're going to resort to a rather unpleasant tactic. Coercion. We will play the sound of someone grinding their teeth at night until somebody out there buys a doctor's night guard. Wear it at night to cushion and save your teeth. Come on. Somebody? There. Thank you, Kelly Kaplan of Paramus, New Jersey, for buying a doctor's night guard and relieving the nightly grind in the oral care section.
I'm concerned about my son Jesse's height. He's small for a 15-year-old.
Have you tried Height Max?
What's that?
Height Max is a new height-enhancing supplement that helps 12 to 25-year-olds maximize their growth potential. It's a patented blend of vitamins, herbs, and amino acids, and you don't need a prescription.
How do I order Height Max?
Call them direct at 1-877-GROW-TALL. There is a 30-day risk-free offer going on now.
Ah, that's easy. 1-877-GROW-TALL.
Or buy it on the web at heightmax.com.
Order today and grow taller with Height Max. Height Max is a subsidiary of Sunny Health Nutrition Technology.
We will not have an all-volunteer army. And yet this week, we will have an all-volunteer army.
Jesus, God. Last one. This is from Maryland in Vancouver, Washington. Mike, I heard Joe Connison on Al Franken's show today. He said that Jon Snow, that's our Secretary of the Treasury, was given a $71 million golden parachute on the condition when he left CSX that he obtain employment with the government, which he did, as Secretary of the Treasury. Plus, he gets $31 million more when this deal is finalized, the port deal. Is there anyone in the corrupt Bush crime family that isn't out to make a buck? Is there no shame? They would do anything for money. Yeah, it's. I just wonder how the families feel. Do the families who are contributing their sons and daughters to go die in Iraq so that George Bush and Neil Bush and Michael Chertoff and James Baker and the Carlyle Group, so they can make money? These evil, these, okay, be careful, because I'm just going to start cussing and screaming, and I'll never be able to stop. Let's do some phone calls. Mohammed is calling from Elk Grove, California. Mohammed, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mike. You know, Mike, I appreciate your show.
Well, thank you.
For a very good reason, because you really express what's inside of me, and because my mother tongue is Arabic, and when I get angry and try to speak English, I just become irrational.
I hear you.
You know, and I become, that's why I try to push myself to be reasonably sounding, even though I am boiling inside. You know, I knew all of this before, not because I am just particularly smart, but I've been in this country for a bloody long time. Mm-hmm. I've been here since 1963 when I was a young kid starting at the University of Colorado. And I know this country very well. I know Republicans. I hated them since the 60s. I knew them immediately as racist and wicked. You know, may I use your terms?
Sure.
Here I go. But anyway, the 2 points I would like to bring today is what you were talking about yesterday. Mm-hmm. You hit the nail on the head about these cartoons. But there is one aspect that you may not be aware of. I would like to bring your attention to.
Sure.
The real wicked bastard who started all of this is a man I'm sure you would know, even though the one who took my call didn't know whom I'm talking about. Daniel Pipes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know who Daniel Pipes is, sure.
Dr. Daniel Pipes is the surreptitian of the new cons, a wicked, rabid, anti-Muslim, anti-Arab, anti-immigrant bastard who, for years, together with this Samuel Huntington about the clash of civilization and others, he was whipping anti-Arab, anti-Muslim feelings. One aspect is this that I wasn't aware of. Last year, he invited the artist. His name is, let me get his name here, Willem Rosen, I believe. Willem Rosen, the artist who did the cartoons, the Danish, invited him to Philadelphia. He was his guest. Okay. Soon after, Dr. Pipes himself went to Denmark and wrote a series of articles that were translated for him into the Danish press. And in those articles, he was whipping incitement against the 200,000 Muslims who live in Denmark, describing them as living on public charge and raping girls and constituting fear against the 6,000 Jews who live in Denmark. Then two members of the Danish parliament couldn't take this, and they answered him in June of last year, telling him, hey, there was no single Jew who was hurt by a Muslim, not a single girl raped by a Muslim. He said, well, it's just these guys, their presence annoy, and they make these Jews afraid. These people live, you know, just like what the Nazis did against Jews, inciting fear describing them as living off public charge, or, you know, before they put them in the burning
the death camps.
This is the thing. But then, so there was an active role for Daniel Pipes, the same way, before this took place, with this right-wing Danish thing. A lot of people are not aware of this. There is an organized right-wing group right here from the United States, whipping incitement, wanting to see a real clash of civilization. They want it, you know, this.
Yeah, Muhammad, I understand what you're saying, and I'm in perfect agreement. But I've got to leave the conversation. We have a break here. Thank you very much. I hope people will do a Google on Daniel Pipes, and if you're not familiar with him, and see what Muhammad is talking about. We'll be back after this break. Stay with us.
That's how the leg gets in.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement. And now we're trying to develop a civil rights movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
26 before the hour, we're going to do our reading from George Orwell's 1984, a little early tonight. Matter of fact, we're going to do it right now. We are in part 2, chapter 1, or chapter 9, depending on how you want to do that. When we left off yesterday, Julia had slipped a three-word message into Winston's hand when she fell in front of him and he picked her up. And the message said simply, "I love you," which stunned him. He went back to his cubicle and went to work, afraid to even think about what had been put in his hand. And he decided he would think about it when he got home. And let's pick it up there. It was not till 23 hours when he was home and in bed, in the darkness, where you were safe, even from the telescreens, so long as you kept silent, that he was able to think continuously. It was a physical problem that had to be solved, how to get in touch with the girl and arrange a meeting. He did not consider any longer the possibility that she might be laying some kind of a trap for him. He knew that that was not so, because of her unmistakable agitation when she handed him the note. Obviously, she had been frightened out of her wits, as well as she might be. Nor did the idea of refusing her advances even cross his mind. Only 5 nights ago, he had contemplated smashing her skull in with a cobblestone, but this was of no importance. He thought of her naked, youthful body, as he had seen it in his dream. He had imagined her a fool, like all the rest of them, her head stuffed with lies and hatred, her belly full of ice. A kind of fever seized him at the thought that he might lose her, the white youthful body might slip away from him. What he feared more than anything else was that she would simply change her mind if he did not get in touch with her quickly. But the physical difficulty of meeting was enormous. It was like trying to make a move at chess when you were already mated. Whichever way you turned, the telescreen faced you. Actually, all the possible ways of communicating with her had occurred to him within 5 minutes of reading the note. But now, with time to think, he went over them one by one, as though laying out a row of instruments on a table. Obviously, the kind of encounter that had happened this morning could not be repeated. If she had worked in the records department, it might have been comparatively simple, but he had only a very dim idea the whereabouts in the building the fiction department lay, and he had no pretext for going there. If he had known where she lived and at what time she left work, he could have contrived to meet her somewhere on her way home. But to try to follow her home was not safe, because it would mean loitering outside the ministry, which was bound to be noticed. As for sending a letter through the mails, it was out of the question. By a routine that was not even secret, all letters were opened in transit. Actually, few people ever wrote letters, for the messages that it was occasionally necessary to send, there were printed postcards with long lists of phrases, and you struck out the ones that were inapplicable. In any case, he did not know the girl's name, let alone her address. Finally, he decided that the safest place was the canteen. If he could get her at a table by herself, somewhere in the middle of the room, not too near the telescreens, and with a sufficient buzz of conversation all around, if those conditions endured for, say, 30 seconds, it might be possible to exchange a few words. For a week after this, life was like a restless dream. On the next day, she did not appear in the canteen until he was leaving it, the whistle having already blown. Presumably, she had been changed on to a later shift. They passed each other without a glance. On the day after that, she was in the canteen at the usual time, but with three other girls and immediately under a telescreen. Then for 3 dreadful days, she did not appear at all. His whole mind and body seemed to be afflicted with an unbearable sensitivity, a sort of transparency which made every movement, every sound, every contact, every word that he had to speak or listen to an agony. Even in sleep, he could not altogether escape from her image. He did not touch the diary during those days. If there was any relief, it was in his work, in which he could sometimes forget himself for 10 minutes at a stretch. He had absolutely no clue as to what had happened to her. There was no inquiry he could make. She might have been vaporized. She might have committed suicide. She might have been transferred to the other end of Oceania. Worse and likeliest of all, she might simply have changed her mind and decided to avoid him. The next day she reappeared. Her arm was out of the sling, and she had a band of sticking plaster around her wrist. The relief of seeing her was so great that he could not resist staring directly at her for several seconds. On the following day, he very nearly succeeded in speaking to her. When he came into the canteen, she was sitting at a table, well out from the wall, and was quite alone. It was early, and the place was not very full. The queue edged forward until Winston was almost at the counter. Then he was held up for 2 minutes because someone in front was complaining that he had not received his tablet of saccharin. But the girl was still alone when Winston secured his tray and began to make for her table. He walked casually toward her, his eyes searching for a place at some table beyond her. She was perhaps 3 meters away from him. Another 2 seconds would do it. Then a voice behind him called, "Smith!" He pretended not to hear. "Smith!" repeated the voice more loudly. It was no use. He turned around. A blond-headed, silly-faced young man named Wilshire, whom he barely knew, was inviting him with a smile to a vacant place at his table. It was not safe to refuse. After having been noticed, he could not go and sit at a table with an unattended girl. It was too noticeable. He sat down with a friendly smile. The silly blonde face beamed into his. Winston had a hallucination of himself smashing a pickaxe right into the middle of it. The girl's table filled up a few minutes later. But she must have seen him coming toward her, and perhaps she would take the hint. Next day he took care to arrive early. Surely enough, she was at a table in about the same place, and again alone. The person immediately ahead of him in the queue was a small, swiftly moving, beetle-like man with a flat face and tiny, suspicious eyes. As Winston turned away from the counter with his tray, he saw that the little man was making straight for the girl's table. His hopes sank again. There was a vacant place at a table further away, but something in the little man's appearance suggested that he would be sufficiently attentive to his own comfort to choose the emptiest table. With ice at his heart, Winston followed. It was no use unless he could get the girl alone. At this moment, there was a tremendous crash. The little man was sprawling on all fours. His tray had gone flying. 2 streams of soup and coffee were flowing across the floor. He started to his feet with a malignant glance at Winston, whom he evidently suspected of having tripped him up. But it was all right. 5 seconds later, with a thundering heart, Winston was sitting at the girl's table. He did not look at her. He unpacked his tray and promptly began eating. It was all important to speak at once before anyone else came, but now a terrible fear had taken possession of him. A week had gone by since she had first approached him. She would have changed her mind. She must have changed her mind. It was impossible that this affair should end successfully. Such things did not happen in real life. He might have flinched altogether from speaking if at this moment he had not seen Ampleforth, the hairy-eared poet, wandering limply around the room with the tray, looking for a place to sit down. In his vague way, Ampleforth was attached to Winston and would certainly sit down at his table if he caught sight of him. There was perhaps a minute in which to act. Both Winston and the girl were eating steadily. The stuff they were eating was a thin stew, actually a soup of haricot beans. In a low murmur, Winston began speaking. Neither of them looked up. Steadily, they spooned the watery stuff into their mouths, and between spoonfuls exchanged the few necessary words in low, expressionless voices. "What time do you leave work?"
18:30.
"Where can we meet?"
"Victory Square, near the monument."
It's full of telescreens.
"Doesn't matter if there's a crowd."
"Any signal?"
"No, just come up to me until you..." "Don't come up to me until you see a lot of people. Don't look at me. Just keep somewhere near me."
"What time?"
19 hours.
"All right." Ampleforth failed to see Winston and sat down at another table. They did not speak again, and so far as it was possible for two people sitting on opposite sides of the same table, they did not look at one another. The girl finished her lunch quickly and made off while Winston stayed to smoke a cigarette. Winston was in Victory Square before the appointed time. He wandered round the base of the enormous fluted column, at the top of which Big Brother's statue gazed southward toward the skies where he had vanquished the Eurasian aeroplanes. The East Asian aeroplanes, it had been a few years ago, in the Battle of Airstrip 1. In the street in front of it, there was a statue of a man on horseback, which was supposed to represent Oliver Cromwell. At 5 minutes past the hour, the girl had still not appeared. Again, the terrible fear seized upon Winston. She was not coming. She had changed her mind. He walked slowly up to the north side of the square and got a sort of pale-colored pleasure from identifying St. Martin's Church, whose bells, when it had bells, had chimed, "You owe me 3 farthings. Then he saw the girl standing at the base of the monument, reading or pretending to read a poster, which ran spirally up the column. It was not safe to go near her until some more people had accumulated. There were telescreens all around the pediment. But at this moment, there was a din of shouting and a zoom of heavy vehicles from somewhere to the left. Suddenly, everyone seemed to be running across the square. The girl nipped nimbly around the lions at the base of the monument and joined in the rush. Winston followed. As he ran, he gathered from some shouted remarks that a convoy of Eurasian prisoners was passing. Already a dense mass of people was blocking the south side of the square. Winston, at normal times, the kind of person who gravitates to the outer edge of any kind of scrimmage, shoved, butted, squirmed his way forward into the heart of the crowd. Soon he was within arm's length of the girl, but the way was blocked by an enormous pole and an almost equally enormous woman, presumably his wife, who seemed to form an impenetrable wall of flesh. Winston wriggled himself sideways and, with a violent lunge, managed to drive his shoulder between them. For a moment it felt as though his entrails were being ground to pulp between the two muscular hips. Then he had broken through, sweating a little. He was next to the girl. They were shoulder to shoulder, both staring fixedly in front of them.
Everybody knows that it's now or never. Everybody knows that it's me or you. Everybody knows that you live forever when you've done a little line or two.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
I'm so glad you got tickets to this concert.
Definitely. This guy's put on a killer show.
Great. Let's go.
Wait. It's just the open band. Let's get a little stone first. It's crazy strong. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Know the greatest phrase ever invented in shopping? No, it's not, I'll just wait in the car. The greatest phrase is, no thanks, I'm just looking. I mean, what freedom, what liberation. What a great way to buy car insurance. In fact, why not do some looking right now? Go to GEICO.com. It's quick, it's easy, and you could save hundreds. You know, saving money looks good on you. GEICO.com. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
he's still at war. It's in our country's interest to find those who would do harm to us and get them out of harm's way.
Jesus. H.A. writes, Mike, I'm expectantly waiting your rant tonight on the South Dakota abortion ban. I'm simply revolted that these beasts refuse to include a stipulation for rape or incest. Jesus Christ, there is a karma hell waiting these people that I cannot even begin to fathom. A.J. All right. Jody is calling from Arlington Heights on this very topic. Jody, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Jody.
I think, you know, I love irony. So this one really hit me a lot of irony. You know, they ran around screaming about activist judges, and they are relying, and what they want are non-activist judges, and those are exactly the ones who are going to push this case up to the Supreme Court.
Right.
Because they're going to follow the law that's there, and they're not going to interpret it wildly. They're going to interpret it just as the Supreme Court has done so already. And it's going to end up that this law would be overturned, and it's going to keep going, and it's going to keep going to the Supreme Court. And there sits their activist judges. And it's just, the irony of this is killing me.
Yes, you're right. There's some irony, but what about this? Since when does a state legislature enact a law or write a law that granted the governor hasn't signed yet, but they write a law that the Supreme Court has already declared unconstitutional, and that is to restrict to the degree that the South Dakota legislature is trying to restrict it, abortion. It's already been ruled. It was ruled how many years ago? 30 years ago?
Even in the last couple of years, you know, they revisited this. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's just so... I mean, I agree, but it just shows what's frightening. That's the irony part, and what the fear part for me is, it shows how incredibly strong this faction of their party is, that they're willing to do. I mean, you know, want to see the difference between a Democrat and a crazy right-wing Republican? Here it is.
Sure.
We would never do something like this on some issue, and they are willing to do it all the way. And it's, and like you said, it's totally settled law, but they don't think so. It's never going to be, as far as they're concerned. And, you know, something in me, I realize this sounds terrible, and I think about the people who, you know, that I shouldn't, you know, obviously it's a right and I shouldn't say this, but I told someone this. I said, we should, it's like this political tug of war on this issue. We should just drop the rope on this one and let them fall. Don't let it go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that hurts the people in South Dakota, but what I heard today was, and I can't verify this, is that there are no clinics in South Dakota that actually, there's no doctors, South Dakota resident doctors, that people come from Minnesota to perform abortions once a week.
Yeah, I know that there is one clinic, I believe, as far as the state residency of the doctor. I don't know. You're probably right.
And my point is that they are going to go to the wall for something that's barely occurring in their state.
Right.
It's just, they sicken me. Their behavior on these kinds of issues just make me want to puke, because this is the kind of issue that just, these are the people I know, this is the issue. You know, you could, like you said, George Bush, like his wife, could run somebody over in a car and it'd be okay, and they'd be just fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're fine with all these horrible things he does. They don't even want to see him. I mean, it's not that they're, you know, ignorant. They're just so purposely ignorant. I can't stand it anymore.
Well,
it's the issue that keeps them going with him.
Yeah, this thing in South Carolina, I don't care what a person's position is on abortion. The thing in legislation passed in, I'm sorry, South Dakota,
right,
contains in it just a smash in the face to women because they refuse to exempt rape. They refuse to exempt incest. They refuse to exempt the health of the woman. The only exemption is if the continuation of the pregnancy will kill the woman.
Yeah, like it's her death will be imminent.
It's astonishing. This is like what O'Brien told Winston Smith.
Yes.
If you want a picture of the future, picture a boot on someone's face. And
right.
The face being ground into the dirt.
I mean, I absolutely agree with you, Mike. I just, you know, the irony part of it kept me from, like, pulling my hair out. You know, that's the only way I can look at it. And just
I know, but irony only can...
No, I know. I'm just saying I had to point that out because that kind of kept me from, like, losing it.
I understand.
I am really angry about this. I just think, what is with these people? They have nothing better to do. They don't see that, you know, the average... The median income in our country is going down. That I just saw an article that soup kitchens are, you know, having to serve more people. And most of, you know, 39% of them in Chicago have jobs.
Right.
I mean, it is disgusting, but that doesn't matter. That none of it matters. This is the only thing that matters, and it just makes me crazy. Anyway, that's my rant. One other thing, I'm trying to get Marge, if it's possible, you can put it somewhere or send it to me. I'll give you my email, Marge's address, because I have a little toy to send her.
Yeah. Send an email to MalloyProducer@AOL.com.
Okay.
MalloyProducer@AOL.com, and Kathy will send you Marge's mailing address.
Thank you very much, Mike.
All right, take care, Jerry.
All right, bye.
Thanks for checking in. A smash in the face to women in South Dakota. It couldn't be any more blatant.
Are there women in South Dakota? I thought they were advertising because there were no women. Maybe this is a message to women. Hey, psst, women, don't go there.
Could be. It's not even sexist. It's not sexism. This is an utter, total, complete contempt for women. It's not going to stop until the Republican Party has been strangled, utterly and absolutely strangled. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
On Air America Radio.
Honey?
Yeah?
Can you keep the kids busy? I'm doing our taxes.
Oh, that's right. We're using TurboTax this year.
Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. TurboTax asks these simple questions, and it automatically fills in all the right forms.
Really?
Uh-huh. TurboTax also checks for errors, and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Well, what about deductions?
Found ones I didn't even think of.
Like those little tax deductions jumping on the sofa?
What?
The kids.
No, I remembered them.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy, taxes done right. Learn more at TurboTax.com or visit a retailer near you.
No matter what you do, work can be stressful. And all that stress might cause you to grind your teeth at night. So why not go out and buy yourself a doctor's night guard, the dental protector you wear at night to cushion and save your teeth and put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that. Relieve the nightly grind with the doctor's night guard in the oral care section.
America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser. Violence in Iraq is subsiding amid a daytime curfew in Baghdad and calls for Muslim unity from religious leaders. During the past 3 days, 200 people have been killed as Shiites fought Sunnis after the bombing of one of the holiest Shiite mosques in Iraq. Despite tens of thousands defying the curfew to march to weekly prayers, there was little violence in Baghdad. The same held true in the southern city of Mosul, where no curfew was established. Both Sunni and Shiite clerics, including top Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr, have appealed for calm. The White House says it welcomes the delay of the controversial deal that would transfer the management of 6 U.S. ports to a company owned by the United Arab Emirates. However, Bush administration officials say the deal should ultimately still go forward, saying national security is not at risk. Dubai Ports World said it would proceed with the $6.85 billion takeover of the global port operations of P&O, but not take over management of the U.S. port assets while it discussed security issues. Dozens of Teamsters lined Biscayne Boulevard Friday in Miami to protest the port's deal. The port workers and longshoremen say they do not want Dubai Ports World to take over British P&O.
We're here to protest what Bush is trying to do against the American citizens and the American public, and we have a right to have the questions answered that he is not answering to us. We have a right to stand tall and to stand proud.
The Teamsters believe if the deal goes through, security may become more lax. U.S. talks with India on a nuclear agreement are moving along, but a deal is not done yet. That's what National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley told a White House news briefing.
It's important to have a good agreement that works for the Indians, works for the United States, will be acceptable to our Congress. We're making progress, but we're not yet there.
Hadley described the ongoing talks as complex and hard. President Bush hopes to finalize agreement on the landmark Nuclear Energy Cooperation Pact when he visits India next week. The crowds may be smaller, but there's no shortage of satirical wit on floats at New Orleans' first post-Katrina Mardi Gras parades. One float was decorated with the seal of the Department of Homeland Insecurity, poking fun at the Homeland Security Department. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back. About 7 past the hour. One more reminder to all Atlanta area evil DUers, Democratic Underground folks. There's a meetup tomorrow night at the Graveyard Pub in East Atlanta, 7 p.m. And hope to see you all there. So if you are a Democratic Undergrounder in the Atlanta area, come on by. If you're not, come on by and become one. You know, it's pretty painless initiation after, you know, after you've had, they do give you a few drinks, and they use a very sharp X-Acto knife, so don't worry too much about it. But we would, you know, you can be initiated into Democratic Underground with a minimal amount of blood loss, minimal amount of pain. It's a little ritual thing. It's not like Skull and Bones, but, you know, you can handle it.
It's less painful than a soon-to-be illegal South Dakota abortion.
That's very true. Andre writes in, regarding the twisted Republican logic on abortion, Andre writes, Mike, think of the Cheney shooting incident. It's the victim's fault. So if a woman is raped, she asked for it. She lured the man to do the deed, so she must bear the manifestation of that sin. Remember, it's God's will. It's astonishing to me, just astonishing to me, that the hypocritical liars who say, you know, the government should stay out of people's faces and businesses and crotches don't mean a word of it. They want to stick government inside your womb, inside your bedroom, inside your head. I hate right-wingers. I loathe Republicans. Let me say something, though, because I think one of my colleagues on this network has started this. So maybe I should pick it up. Some of you right-wingers, you Republicans, you Bush supporters, you know who you are starting to feel the icy touch of reality. I know you are. Not all of you are stupid. Some of you would be able to pass just a basic verbal comprehension test. And for those of you, you Bush supporters, you Republicans, you know, you may have started out a few years ago as Reagan Democrats, and slowly you got sucked into this this mind control where you have spent the past 25 years actively destroying your own life and the lives of your children and your grandchildren, actively destroying your life, your children's lives, and your grandchildren's lives, while all the time thinking that you were accomplishing something that used to be called conservatism. There is nothing about the Republican Party any longer that is conservative. It is Nazi, and you know it. You know it. It is fascistic, and you know it. So I'm going to make an offer. And this is very tenuous for me, and I'm sure for you. The slightest unexpected movement, and one of us will probably slam the door. But I'm going to make a little entree to you right-wingers, Republicans, Bush supporters, who all of a sudden are starting to realize what you have been supporting and how you have destroyed your life, your children's lives, and your grandchildren's future. And all of a sudden, with that realization, you don't know where to go. Who are you going to go to? Rush Limbaugh? Sean Hannity? Savage? Michael Reagan? Medved? Glenn Beck? Who are you going to go to? Who are you going to go to and say, Jesus H. Christ, I was tricked. I'm scared. I don't know what to do. All right. It's called stepping into the light. So I'm going to leave the door open. Just like Leonard Cohen says, there's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. We're going to leave the door open a crack. And you don't have to do anything about it tonight or next week. And I know a lot of you righties are just giggling and farting and laughing and geeking right now, totally geeking out on what I'm saying. That's fine. That's fine. Go ahead, geek. Do it. It's all right with me. But I just want you to know that we're going to leave the door open a crack, because at some point, the full force of what the Bush crime family has done to this country is going to slam you and your solar plexus so hard you're going to double over. You may develop ulcers. You may have a mild coronary. You may have what your doctor will say, well, yeah, I think you have free-floating anxiety. Here, take a couple of these when you get this feeling. You know, you may it may manifest with your inability to sleep at night because you're worried about how in the hell you're going to pay for your kids' last 2 years in college, how in the hell you're going to continue to make these mortgage payments on your McMansion. It's going to come. Not because I say it's going to come, but because the Bush crime family has set it up, and it's coming. Pick your disaster. It's on the way. As much as I am filled with nothing but loathing and contempt for right-wingers, Bush supporters, and Republicans, it's starting to dawn on me, too, that there has to be, at some point, a stepping away from what the Bush crime family has set us up for. We have become in this country like Shia and Sunnis in Iraq. Are you aware of that? I want to kill you. You want to kill me. I want to smash your face into the ground. You want to do the same thing to me. I think you are a maniac. You think I'm one. This is insane. George W. Bush is destroying all of our lives and our futures. He's not performing strange acts that only affect liberals or Democrats. Do you not understand that? You must. At some point, you're going to understand that. So we're going to leave the door open a crack, because that is how the light gets in. And I'm not saying, you know, welcome to the Malloy Show to you people. I'm not. If any of you want to step into the light, if any of you do want to come in this direction, away from the horror that you're going to face. Now, I'm not talking about you rich bastards. You're not even listening to the program, probably. I'm talking about those of you who are like so many of us. Working class, struggling to make ends meet. Yes, 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 I am. All of us are. No, I'm not Al Franken. I'm not Randy Rhodes. I'm me. And we struggle to make ends meet, Kathy and I, just like you do, right-winger. We've got a common enemy, George W. Bush. And everything the son of a bitch represents, every person who that he's ever put into office, he is destroying the country. He is destroying the society. So we'll leave the door open a crack. We'll see what happens. From Guillermo in Miami, he writes, this is about Neil Bush getting money from the United Arab Emirates to set up his education company. Guillermo writes, yes, Neil's company provides the Florida Comprehensive Assessment Test, the FCAT, that all public school children must take. The cumulative test scores of each school grades each school with an A, B, C, D, or F. These people are poison. Thanks, Guillermo. These people are poison. We'll be back after this break. We'll be right back.
listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
Kids were coming out of the school system that were who were illiterate. And it wasn't right.
What is yet to be? Yeah, the war
but still can rain. Forgive your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in.
Ah, God, I love Leonard Cohen music. Woo! What was the album that we had, the female singer, Kathy, that did Famous Blue Raincoat, right? What's the singer's name? I'm drawing a blank. Jennifer Warnes. If you all want to hear some music, some Leonard Cohen music done by somebody else, a whole CD full of it, Famous Blue Raincoat. Jennifer Warnes, Warnes. It is just astounding when she does the song that Cohen wrote about Joan of Arc. You ain't never heard anything like that. Famous Blue Raincoat. Get it over the weekend. I'm serious. I am serious. Famous Blue Raincoat. It came out, I don't know what, 10, 12 years ago. Long time ago. Longer than that? 15 years ago? It's been out for a long time. Jennifer Warnes. Famous Blue Raincoat. It's all Leonard Cohen music. Back to your phone calls, quick. Mitch is calling from Waverly, New York. Mitch, thanks for holding on. Appreciate your patience.
No problem. I guess one of the things I wanted to talk about was that, I think it's all a matter of control. And that's the reason why when we talk about the war as they're doing now, we're saying, gee, it doesn't feel like we're in a war. But they're so different. They know, they learned a lesson from Vietnam in that there the fear we had was going over there and being killed, whereas the opposite, now they're saying, oh, no, it's not a matter of, we're going to go over there and be killed. It's going to come here. And so they heighten the fear. As the fear is ratcheted up, we're willing to give up more and more and more, more control, as long as they can keep the fear ratcheted up. And the same thing happened with the same thing to a degree with what's happening in the South Dakota. I guess you hadn't heard one of the things they had told the newspapers was that they specifically passed it and made it as draconian as possible because they wanted it to be something that would have to be taken to the Supreme Court, looking for that to be overturned.
No, I didn't see that. The thing that is puzzling to me, though, is... it's not in this case, because I understand what they're doing, but the idiocy of passing the law the Supreme Court has already ruled is unconstitutional, specifically to take it to the Supreme Court when all they have to do, all anyone has to do, is to educate ourselves about ways of not getting pregnant to begin with, and secondly, reminding ourselves that the government has no business inside a woman's womb. Sex education and removing government from these extremely personal areas. A lot of people try to make the analogy between abortion and slavery, and that's a false analogy. Matter of fact, it's a false everything. There is no comparison between the two. A woman who becomes pregnant and is carrying something that, may have... some sort of definition as being alive up to a certain point, though, if you remove it from her, remove it from its parasitic state, it's about as alive as the hair on my head. The hair on my head is alive, too. But when I cut it off and sweep it into the toilet or into the wastebasket, is it still alive? It's insane. I don't want to get into a discussion about abortion or about the when life begins, but this is an outrage to do this, to deliberately do this, rather than, an ounce of prevention is worth a truckload of cure. How many times have we been told that? If people don't want unwanted pregnancies, then let's get into heavy-duty sex education for our kids.
They don't care about that because it's not about government. It's about religion.
And control. You're absolutely right. It's just like the war thing. You're right. They're both the same. They're absolutely the same. Thanks for checking in, Mitch. I appreciate your call. All right, take care.
You bet.
All right, have a good weekend. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
the fiddler fiddle, something so sublime. All the women tear their blouses off, and the men they dance on the polka dots, and his partner dead, and his partner lost, and there's hell to pay when the music stops, it's closing time. Tear their blouses off, and the men they dance on the polka dots, and his partner found, and his partner lost, and it's hell to pay when the fiddler stops. It's closed.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning. Totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor. Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
You know, it's amazing how many things you can do online these days. Plastic surgery online is still a few years off, but I bet they're working on it. And what about doing all your car insurance business online? Well, it's already here. At Geico.com, you can do most everything. Change drivers, change cars, change coverage, change your oil. I made that last one up. Geico.com. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
I thought you were done with our taxes.
I am, but now TurboTax can help us get even more from our tax refund.
Really?
Yeah. With TurboTax, we can use all or part of our refund for gift cards with a bonus of 10%, 20%, or more at over 50 major retailers.
Wow.
We can get more from the places where we'd spend our money anyway.
A bonus on top of our refund? I'm thinking power tools.
Or some new shoes.
DVD player.
Dinner out.
Barbecue grill.
New laptop.
Vacation.
Ugh, vacation.
Fees apply. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
I'm concerned about my son Jesse's height. He's small for a 15-year-old.
Have you tried Height Max?
What's that?
Height Max is a new height-enhancing supplement that helps 12 to 25-year-olds maximize their growth potential. It's a patented blend of vitamins, herbs, and amino acids, and you don't need a prescription.
How do I order Height Max?
Call them direct at 1-877-GROW-TALL. There is a 30-day risk-free offer going on now.
Ah, that's easy. 1-877-GROW-TALL.
Or buy it on the web at heightmax.com.
Order today and grow taller with Height Max. Height Max is a subsidiary of Sunny Health Nutrition Technology.
We'll be right back.
Screaming with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
It's about 25 before the hour. Brett is calling from Miami. Brett, thanks for holding on. I appreciate your patience.
No problem. This is about the thing we were talking about earlier with the war being out of the people's minds, really.
Right, right.
I think it's just a case of out of sight, out of mind.
Yes.
They've learned a lot as far as the previous caller said something about running the wars. How many pictures of a flag-draped casket have you seen coming back from Iraq? And we all know that they send everything back, even the injured soldiers. They all come in at night. And they don't allow the pictures. I mean, I remember a story this a while ago, maybe a year, about a mother trying to get a picture of her son's casket.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't allow her. I mean, I don't know if you've heard that story, but...
I think I did. I think somebody sent me a link to that story. It was just tragic. It's just heartbreaking.
Yeah, and you know, to go even further, I mean, we all know they're very evil and cunning, too. I mean, cunning is something that comes with that, and, you know, so we shouldn't underestimate them in that regard. But the atmosphere they've created in Iraq is such a dangerous and deadly place for journalists. You know, the most of any war zone ever. I mean, that's preventing journalists from even wanting to go over there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think these are just, you know, they've really made these efforts to try and keep it off the airwaves. And imagine if every day that, you know, so there had been deaths from American soldiers that on the news that night you had flag-draped caskets.
Yeah, and television, which is where most people get most of their visual, that's kind of stupid, where most people get most of their news, talk radio is where it's a toss-up between talk radio and television. But television has the images, and television is a co-conspirator in not allowing somebody somewhere made decisions on these various networks, whether the cable or over the air, made decisions that they were not going to participate in reporting to the American public what was being done in their name in the Middle East, and it's just horrifying.
I don't know what level they're all involved at yet, but there's definitely collaborations going on there.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hear you loud and clear. Brett, thanks for checking in.
All right.
Take care. I appreciate it. Take care. Ron is calling from Davis, California. Ron, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Yeah, it's been a long time since we've talked, actually. What I'd like to do is get some feedback from you on the Middle East, and there's 1,000,000,000 quagmires over there, as you and I both know.
Mm-hmm.
And I also would like to mention, just real briefly, that I've been amazed at how many, quote, liberal friends I have, so-called Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Since I've become this sort of source of peak oil and Byzantine plots with Russia and China and so forth and so on and what ifs.
Right.
They don't want to hear it. They just don't want to hear it.
Yeah, I know.
Liberal friends. They just, it's just going, they'll go, Ron, you're just getting too negative. I can't.
I've noticed that too. I've noticed that too. That's why I really have backed off from talking to anybody about this stuff unless it's on this program.
Once you get to a certain heavy, you know, once you start saying, well, for example, like I heard Michael Rupert on your show about a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
He was fantastic. And I had already read Living with the Devil by Robert Baer, so I went off and read like 4,000 pages on the what ifs.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert Baer mentioned that if a plane were to strike the Abqaiq refinery, 9/11 would look like a picnic.
Right, right.
And they actually made an attempt today to strike it.
They did, and got into the. In case people don't know, that's the largest refinery on Earth,
yeah.
And it's in Saudi Arabia. And the people, I heard two reports. CBS said that all of the attackers died in the three vehicles and four security guards. ABC said all the attackers died, the suicide attackers, suicide bombers, and two of the security guards were wounded. So, you know, nobody can get anything straight. But you're absolutely right. If that facility were to be hit with a missile, it's all over. Everything's over.
Everything's over, and the house of cards comes down, and there won't be an Orwellian By the way, I really appreciate your reading.
What's that?
It won't be an Orwellian situation here. It'll just be absolute anarchy, absolute madness, because people just don't understand that the price of oil controls everything.
Everything, that's right. Even the food. The food.
I really think, Mike, and I'm struggling not to be a cynic over this, but everything I read, and the deeper I dig, it'll be a miracle if we reach 2000, you know, December 25th, 2006, without this whole thing blowing.
Yeah. I hear you loud and clear, Robert. Thanks. I'm sorry, Ron. Thanks for checking in. All right. Take care. I read something in Harper's, or was it The Nation, or was it Mother Jones? I don't know. Those are the three magazines I subscribe to. It might have been Harper's some time ago. It was about the hidden cost of how the hidden cost of oil drives everything up. How much petroleum products are needed for factory farming? I'm not talking about organic farming. I'm not talking about, you know, growing your own. I'm talking about factory farming. The extent to which petroleum products, how much petroleum you and I eat. We eat it because it is petroleum-based fertilizers, petroleum-based this, petroleum-based that. It's in the food chain. There's nobody on Earth, let's forget on Earth for a minute, there's nobody in the United States that can be blood tested for PCBs and come up clean. There's nobody on Earth or in the United States that can be tested for something like 30 or 40 inorganic chemical compounds that a huge percentage of which begin as a byproduct or at least has petroleum in it. It's just astonishing. But if you saw that report today about the attack, the attempted attack on the Saudi Arabian oil facility, that should make everybody nervous. ABC, I think it was ABC, did report that Al-Zawahiri or whoever this, you know, Osama bin Laden's number two guy had said that the tactics were going to change. And that, my words now, not his, but collaborators with the West who are fueling the Western war machine would be hit. That would mean Kuwait. That would mean possibly Iran. That would mean Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, any place in the Middle East where oil is produced or pumped, I should say, and sent to the West. That would be certain states in Europe and, of course, the great Satan, the United States, that those facilities would be targeted. And by God, it happened today. Now, it was unsuccessful. But scary stuff. Scary stuff. Merlin is calling from Miami Beach. Merlin, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on, by the way.
Hi. Am I on?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Mike, you're the man, and Kathy is the woman.
No, you're the man.
Molly is the child, huh?
All right. I'm glad you sorted that out for me. I've had some problems with that lately.
Listen, I've been listening to you a long, long time, so okay. I really mean that. You know, you're all a great team. You can't be beat, you see?
Yeah.
Now, what are we going to say? You know, you expressed frustration, you know, with right wingers, you know, that they don't seem to get it and deal and talking with them. But I think you're really on the right track when you talk about opening up the door and you know, allowing them to come in and admit they've been fooled.
Or even just maybe make an attempt to establish dialogue, because I tell you what, at some point, you know, when the barricades go up, and the bad stuff really hits the fan, I'm not going to ask the person on the barricades with a weapon like mine what he was before the barricades went up. You understand what I'm saying?
All right, but we're not there yet. We're not there yet. Thankfully.
Right.
Thankfully. Now here's what I want to say. I think I've been following, you know, on the internet some mostly good sites, and I'm convinced that we need to be concerned at this point about. Well, there's two things. First, I think the reason that it is difficult to talk to these people,
right,
is because they have been fooled. I've been fooled. I think everybody to some degree has been fooled, but it is for a reason that it goes back to this operation that took place.
You're talking about 9/11.
Yeah, actually, we were fooled three times. I got to be. That was the first one. The
quickly,
second one was Afghanistan. The third one was Iraq.
Yeah, I think you're right. Merlin, I got to leave it there.
Okay.
Thanks, pal.
Okay.
I appreciate what you had to say. Take care.
We're trying to change the system from within. I'm coming now. I'm coming to reward them. First, we take Manhattan. Then we take Berlin.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're looking for the ideal job, Mystery ShopLink has immediate openings for mystery shoppers in your area. Mystery shoppers get paid to shop, dine and drink at restaurants, and even go to the movies. Companies pay you to be their eyes and ears. You tell them how you're treated and how their prices compare. As a mystery shopper, you set your own hours and pick up your own assignments. Bring home hundreds of extra dollars. To qualify, you must be over 18, have a checking account, credit or debit card, and internet access. All you need to do is shop. For a small fee, Mystery ShopLink will have you mystery shopping in a few days. Call now and you'll get a $1,000 online catalog gift certificate. Order what you want. As a mystery shopper, you get to keep the goods free. You'll get the details when you call. This is a very limited offer, so call right now. Call 1-888-223-7979 to find out how you can get paid to shop. That's 1-888-223-7979. Paid shopping assignments are now available in your area. 1-888-223-7979. Offer not available in Nevada.
poison. I've been waiting all day. I didn't see the time. I know you sent me some, but I was waiting.
It's about 9 before the hour. Thanks to our crew in New York. Tonight, Justin Yuen and Stan Stolfiak. Thanks, guys, for engineering the program. D. Neal is our associate producer. Thank you, D. Also, our other crew, Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Mark Marshall, our webmaster, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief, and, of course, Catherine Bay, who's the executive producer of this program. Tony is calling from Tacoma, Washington. Tony, welcome to the program. Thanks for your patience.
Yes. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine, sir.
Hold on. Let me turn down my music. Okay. I'm calling about the port buyout by Dubai.
Yes.
Well, as you know, the Carlyle Group is involved in that.
Yes.
The last time that they did any kind of buyout was during 9/11, and they made millions off of it, right?
Which was that?
I'm sorry?
What was the buyout you're referring to?
Well, it was the Bin Laden family with the Carlyle Group.
Was there some specific thing you're referring to that the Carlyle Group did? Because are you talking about the put options on the airline stock? I don't think anyone ever proved who did that.
No. They had money in weapons manufacturing and stuff like that with the Carlyle Group.
Yeah.
And I just get a really weird feeling that we're about ready to get attacked sometime pretty soon. That whenever they get involved, now it's with Dubai and the the government of Saudi Arabia. Them bringing, having control of the ports, I think that our country is really in a lot of danger at this point.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. I would take it one step further, though, and say that our country has been in tremendous danger ever since Bush was sworn in early 2001. The election was stolen. These people had determined that they were going to take us into endless war for the reasons that the Project for New American Century are more than happy to tell you about. We're there. This country has never been in a more dangerous position than under the control of this sick bastard George Bush. I believe that with all my heart and soul. So you're right, though, when you say, the danger may be increasing just over the horizon. God only knows what's coming. We do know it won't affect this ruling clique of thugs that are really global in their reach. It's not going to affect them, but it sure as hell will affect you and me.
Correct. I agree. Hey, I've been reading this book. It's by David Ray Griffin.
Yes.
It's the 9/11 Commission Report.
Yes.
I don't know if you've read it or heard about it.
I've heard about it. We had him on the program the other night. I have not read the book.
Oh, man. This book is absolutely phenomenal.
Well, I'll tell you what. A lot of the people listening to the program, this program, have read that book, and I'll try to do it myself. I know I probably should read some of David Ray Griffin's stuff. Tony, let me leave it there. I've got a couple more people I want to squeeze in here. I appreciate your time and what you had to say. Thanks a lot. Joe is calling from Long Beach, California, which happens to be a major port.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing, Joe?
Hey, I'm okay. I'm calling because I was thinking about the same thing the last guy was calling about, which is that, the ports.
Well, you live near one, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Massive port.
Yeah, and, one of the things that's, one of the lessons I'm sure that the Bush crime family has learned from their last shenanigans, if you believe the 911 stuff, is that you know, when there's a lot of videotapes going and there's people who can analyze the evidence and they get, then there's a lot more risk. Well, when you got the Arabs running a port, all you need is just a car full of some kind of biological cocktail, nuclear bomb, whatever. No questions asked. Rex 84 comes into play. They got the labor camps all set up. You know.
Okay, but let me just inject one thing at the risk of sounding heretical here. I don't have. I don't believe that Arab people would do. Would do such a thing. Let me explain. The greatest oppressors in the history of the human race have been white Europeans. They have committed more murder, condemned more people to slavery than any collection, any racial group in the history of the human race, which doesn't mean that the white people that live down the road from my house instill any fear in me, even though I know what they're capable of. So
yeah.
I can't deal with the idea of you know, because these folks are Arabic, that somehow they are a threat. Now,
well,
I understand where you're coming from. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm thinking more in terms of the connection, in terms of more like a corporate connection. Not to say that, you know, the UAE doesn't actually own the port company. But what I'm talking about is the kind of connections that you see when you look at the drug running back in the Iran-Contra days. Is, you know, you see a company that has a connection.
Yeah, the company with the connection there was the CIA. Hey, listen, I hate to do this to you, Joe, but we are out of time. I'm hoping you'll call in Monday and we'll continue this conversation. Thanks
all
a
right.
lot, pal. I appreciate it. Thanks for your participation tonight and this week. I do appreciate it. Whoever you are, however you participated, it's real important to us. Thanks a lot. I'll see you Monday night, all right? Take care. Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are. And you too, Leonard Cohen.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, "We eliminate the middleman"? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Hi, I'm Mike Malloy, and if you're as sick of the Bush crime family as I am, you need to visit ImpeachBushGame.com. And when you get there, you're going to find the board game that's taking America by storm, Impeached. Whether you play games or not, Impeached is a must-have item that serves as a constant reminder by exposing the crimes, the greed, and the stupidity of George W. and his hoodlum cohorts. ImpeachBushGame.com only offers anti-Bush merchandise, including the Bush Voodoo Doll. Buy your game today at ImpeachBushGame.com.